Amen.
I love Sam Parker's version of the Bible. Jesus stood at the door and said, boo. That's the Bible we should be using. It's great. Well, welcome everyone. It's really good to see you. My name's Mike, if I don't know you. And if you are visiting today, can I just say as well, you're very, very warmly welcome. I hope that today is a day of fun and a day of us maybe sharing some of the hope that we carry as followers of Jesus with you. I love this time of year for many reasons, but I also, one of the main reasons I love this time of year is because I get to show one of my favourite pictures for Easter, and that's the first. How many of you have seen this before? I've shown it quite a few times. I love this picture because this is a picture of Peter and John running to the tomb. It's hung in the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. I can't remember who painted it, but I think it's a beautiful picture. And it's a picture of Peter and John running to the tomb just after Mary has come and said to them, I've been to the tomb, the stone is rolled away, he is not there. And she goes to them and they run from the room in which they're hiding and they're running towards the tomb. Just look at their faces now. What if, when I was a primary school teacher, we used to use pictures and we used to say to the children, put a little speech bubble over their heads. What are they thinking? What are they saying now? What would you say those Peter and John are thinking or saying? Well, they're not saying anything. What are they thinking? What are they? Maybe just turn to the person next to you just for 10 seconds. What do you think they're thinking? What are they thinking as they run to the tomb? What did anyone want to shout out what they thought? Can you join to speak it here?
I think they're thinking that what was I saying? I think they're thinking that they're gonna look in the tomb and they're going to see that Jesus is actually there, but they don't think that he's going to be there.
Yeah, great, Karis. Thank you. That's such confidence. anyone else want to shout out what you think that they were thinking?
Hungry.
Pardon?
Hungry.
Hungry? maybe. Yes, Lottie? I can't hear you, sorry.
Thinking where is Jesus's body, and they're just lying.
Well, they're wondering where Jesus's body is. Yes, I, Micah, do you want to say last one?
Is it true that the Christ is alive?
Oh, yes, I'm sure they were. Well, they must be thinking, maybe this is true. I love the look on their faces. It's kind of that hope, but they're still like, they're not totally certain, are they? When I look at their faces, they're not totally certain, but there's a hope beginning to stir in them. It says in John 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. This is in John. He doesn't mention his name, but it's John. The one Jesus loved, John has to put that one in. Also later on, we also know that John tells us that he was the one who got to the tomb first, tells us he was the fastest runner. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, says Mary, and we don't know where they have put him. Could it be true as they're running to this tomb? Why is the tomb empty? What does it mean? Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That the reason the tomb was empty was because Jesus, who was dead, who had been killed on a cross, has risen from the dead and is now alive. Listen to what it says in Colossians, another book in the Bible. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He brought peace. He brought everything back to under him and healed people. But why is this important? We say these things, he was risen, it's good. Why is it important? Maybe you're thinking that. Why is this important to me? Why did things need reconciling? To understand the answer to that question, we need to go back a little bit. We need to go back to understand the situation that people are in. Christians believe that God created the world and it was good. You may remember those words in Genesis. God created the world and it was good. And when people can choose to do good. He created you and me, and we have freedom. We have freedom to choose to seek truth, or we have freedom to choose our own way and to not choose truth. Sometimes in the Bible we call that sin. To choose our own way, to not choose the way of God. Choosing sin puts us at odds with God. If God is a holy God, then he cannot be around anyone or anything that is not holy, because he's holy, and he cannot be around anything or anyone who is not holy. So us choosing to do wrong things breaks up that relationship that we have with God. And the ripple effects of that flow out into the world. They don't just break our relationship with God, they break our relationship with each other as well. And we have broken relationships. The consequences, if you like, of the choosing to do the wrong things affects all sorts of things in creation. It affects all our relationships, and it affects the way we treat God's creation. It ripples out. These are the key consequences of sin. But the biggest consequence of sin and of us choosing not to go after the truth that God has given us is that death came into the world. We were created, you were created, I was created to be in relationship with God forever. But he's a holy God. If we carry sin, if we become unholy, we cannot be with God. So that eternity that we were meant to be with God is broken. We can't be with him. We're held back from that life with God that we were created for. It's as if there were chains. We sang earlier about chains holding us, and the chains, he set us free from the chains that hold us. It's as if there are chains holding us because of our sin, from living the life that God has called us to live. Now, I think, rather than you hear me talk about this, it's much better if we have a visual representation of chains. And I think I've asked Zach. He didn't have a choice. Zach is so good at doing visual illustrations in his sermons. I thought, why not make him a visual illustration today? So Zach, and then do you know what, Zach? I asked Zeph and Toby if they could help chain you up, and they didn't even think twice. They were like, yes, I want to do this. Are you going to help chain Daddy up as well?
Yeah.
There's a little bit too much enthusiasm there, Zach. Okay, so the Bible talks about the consequences of sin being a bit like chaining us up. Right, guys, what you need to do is wrap this around Zach, and don't do it too tight. We do want him still to be breathing. And whilst you're doing that, yeah, you wrap it all the way around underneath the arms. Yeah, that's good. You've got to play the piano again later. Yeah, well, we'll see. So the Bible talks about the consequences of the things that we do wrong being like chains that hold us back from living the life. Now, guys, what you've got here, you need to... Where have I put it? Oh, there it is. Is a padlock. I don't know if you could just tight it up and then padlock him so that there's no way he can escape. You can just put it into another link somewhere, maybe. It doesn't have to be the end, as long as he can't get out. Yeah, you got it?
We'll let him out later.
Brilliant. And now, can you see on these chains, guys? Can you just have a look and see what are the labels that are on the chains? What do they say? Can anyone read? There should be about four labels. What can you read it, Karis?
No.
That says
shame.
Shame. That's right. What does that say, Zeph?
Broken relationships.
Broken relationships.
Have you got one there, Toby?
Separation from God.
Separation from God. I think, is there one more?
Yeah.
What does that say?
Fear of death.
Fear of death. So the consequences of our sin, they don't just chain us back. Thank you, guys. That's brilliant. Good job. The consequences of sin are that we have shame, we have guilt, we're held back. And what do we do about this? How do we break free from this? You're going to try. Don't do it too much because you'll flip off the stage. How do we break free from this? Well, one of the things we do, actually, Zeph and... No, it's all right. I'll do this. I'll enjoy doing this. One of the things we try and do with our sin is cover it up. We think, I can't deal with it, so I'm just gonna cover it up. I'm gonna get myself. You're right in there.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, great was the answer. We cover it up. We try and do things. We don't deal with the stuff that sin's going on inside. Maybe you feel sometimes that shame or that guilt from things that maybe you've done or things that have been done to you. Or you feel that brokenness in the world and you carry that in you. And what we do is we cover it up. We cover up the things, the consequences of sin. But that doesn't work. We still go home at night after our day spending with people, and we go home at night, and when we're left on our own, we know what's really going on inside of us. We know we haven't broken those chains. I'm going to let you out of there now, is that? There you are. It's perfect. How do we break free of the chains? Well, around the room, there are some people who are holding some keys, and I'm hoping maybe that one of these keys might help break these chains. We might be the where's the padlock? It might be the key for the padlock. So, Micah, do you want to go and find one? Elijah, do you want to go and find one? Does anyone else want to? Lottie, do you want to go and find one? So you just look and see. Liam, if you could go and find someone. I think we've only got four. So look for people with lanyards or standing up who might have a key and bring that to me. Right, what have we got? Can you see? Do you want to see if it works? Shall we see what it says whilst you try? This says, going to church. Surely going to church will make us right with God. Is that working? No. It went in, but it didn't turn. Sorry. All right, let's try that one. Prayer. Surely prayer will help us. Karis, I've got a special key for you to do later. Will you help me later and do a special key? Thank you. In a minute, I'll tell you when. Prayer, let's try prayer. That might have given away a little bit there. Maybe there's a special key. Does that prayer one go in? Well, I thought prayer would make us right with God. I thought that'd be no. What are we going to do, Zach? Were you hoping for a nice Easter lunch today?
And
you were.
Being good.
What's it say?
Being good.
This says being good. Surely that must work. Being good, that makes us right with God. No, too big. It doesn't even fit. Have we got one more? What have we got? Family and friends. Yeah, sometimes family and friends. If we have good family and good friends, they can help us. We can get right with God. Is that going in? No. No. Oh, no. Oh, thank you for trying, guys. If you just leave those keys there, because I do need those keys. put them back up on the stage, please. That's great. Thank you very much. None of those keys worked. He's trying to get you free. Here's the good news. God did not want us to be separated from him. God's heart is a good father towards us. He will do everything he can to make us right with him. And he has done everything that is possible to make us right with him. In the Bible it says, God so loved you and me that he sent his son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Believing in Jesus, this is the key that will unlock us. Charis, do you want to come and help us? Thank you. There's one other key that we didn't find, and it's, can you see there? Look there. What does it say on the key? Can you see?
Jesus.
Right, do you want to try the key? Let's have a look. There's the lock. Push it in. Your kids are very keen that you're free here, Zach. It's a good sign. Turn it. You did it. Well done, guys. Yes, he's free. The chains have fallen off. Well done, guys. The key is Jesus. All those other things are good things. I'm not saying that prayer isn't good. Family and friends are good. Reading the Bible is good. Going to church is good. But it will not set you free. Belief in Jesus sets us free. Belief in following him is what sets us free. Listen to what it says about those who are in Christ. Sometimes people who follow Jesus talk about being in Christ. Listen to what it says. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the key that releases the chains. And then when we're free to also go and release chains on other people. Followers of Jesus who have been set free don't just do it for themselves. They now carry a key that can go and lock other people so that the ripple effects of the things that God has done ripple out into the world, and they go after breaking the chains of injustice, breaking the chains that cause damage in God's creation. We are free to do that, and we don't do it because we're trying to get brownie points, trying to get right with God. We are right with God. He loves you, and nothing can change that. You now do it. You come to church because you want relationship, friendship with him. Not because you're trying to get right, not because you're trying to get brownie points with him. Hopefully he'll see me coming to church and worship him and I'll be okay with God. You are already okay with God if you believe in Jesus. And we come to have friendship with him, to relationship with him. Easter is about the chains being unlocked. This is a beautiful verse in the Bible. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, by the chains that used to hold you. The chains don't have to hold you anymore. Sometimes as Christians, sometimes as followers of Jesus, we find it hard to let go of the chains, and we keep them on us, and we wrap them around us, and we don't step away from them. But the padlock is gone. There is nothing that can hold these chains on me anymore. There's nothing. Only me. I'm the only one who can hold these chains on. Are you someone who wants to set free, to step away from the chains this morning? Maybe you've not said yes to Jesus yet. You can know the hope of freedom in Jesus today. If you're already a follower of Jesus, maybe you're still struggling to let go of the chains. Take a step closer towards him today. You don't have to carry those chains anymore. The people in this room, there is nothing special about us, except that if you are a follower of Jesus, we've chosen to follow him. It's not about us. It's about him and what he has done. We're no more special than anyone else in this world. And we invite you, if you don't yet know Jesus and aren't following him, we invite you to join with us on this journey of learning what it means to walk without the chains that hold us back. Maybe you feel today like there are chains in your life, whatever that looks like, shame from things you've done in the past, shame for what things have been done to you in the past. Maybe you feel like that. You can have hope and you can be set free because of what Jesus has done and how he's taken the sin of you and me, the things that held us back, and he has broken, he has unlocked that padlock for each one of us. Will you today step into freedom that Christ has won for us on the cross? You can be defined by freedom in Christ, and you can choose to step into that or not. Mary saw the empty tomb. She met Jesus in the garden and she told the disciples, "Look at them again. Could this be true?" What about you? Could this be true for you today? Has Jesus done everything that is needed for you to be able to live in hope, for you to have that trajectory of hope in your life, and to know that death does not have the final word? Jesus has the final word. Death does not have the final word on you. You were created for eternity and friendship with Jesus, and that is possible when you believe in him. If you want to know more, please talk to anyone with a lanyard. There'll be opportunity for prayer after the service where you can come and say, "I want to know more about that." If you're a follower of Jesus, but you know there are still some chains that you yourself are holding onto, come and be prayed for. We'd love to help you. We're all on the journey. All of us are on the journey. None of us are there yet, but we're all on the journey. Join us on that trajectory. Mary comes and tells the disciples, "He is risen. I have seen him." And hope begins to stir. We're going to watch a video which just sums up some of the things that we've been saying. It's a video of Mary going to the tomb, seeing Jesus, and then her going and telling the disciples, "I've seen the risen Jesus." I love the way this is depicted. It just helps us to catch hold of the story a little bit. And then we're going to worship. So as we come to the end of the video, the band are going to start playing and we'll stand together and we'll worship together. That's the only response to the good news of Jesus this morning. So let's watch this video and then we'll worship together.
Crying. What are you looking for?
Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have laid his body.
Mary.
saw him. He is risen.
Shall we stand and celebrate Jesus' great victory? Get your dancing shoes on.